Is telework a goal or a reality for your organization? Learn what you and your agency need to know at the Telework Center on federalnewsradio.com, keyword telework, sponsored by Tanberg.
This is Mike Causey. Welcome to Your Turn. Glad to have you with us today. And as per usual, we're going to be following the money. My first guest is Randy Irwin. He is Legislative Director of the National Federation of Federal Employees, and is going to be talking about the gains Feds made last year, which were record, and what's on the agenda for this year. And I'll also be talking about a variety of things, the Family Leave Act, and legislation that would permit people to put their unused annual leave into the Thrift Savings Plan, which would be a major boost for a lot of people. Coming up at 10:30, Alan Dare to Be Dull Roth is going to be talking about your Thrift Savings Plan. I had a column Monday. I hope you saw that we interviewed a man who a retired SESer who, when he left the government, had $1 million in his Thrift Savings Plan account, and he explained how he did it. And Alan's going to be talking about that and different retirement strategies, and got a lot of email response to that. So stay tuned for Money, Money, and Money. And we've got Randy Irwin on the line. Randy, are you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Thanks for being here. And now, you're a legislative director of the National Federation of Federal Employees, correct?
I am. I'm an advocate as a federal employee.
And NFFE, you're affiliated with the, is it the Machinists and Aerospace Workers?
We are. We affiliated with the Machinists Union back in 1998.
Okay, because I know for many, many years you were billed yourself as the largest independent, but now you're in the AFL-CIO family.
Yeah, we're back. We were chartered under the AFL-CIO, but we left in the 1930s, but we decided it was time to come back.
Okay, yeah, give them a chance to repent and change things. Randy, you said you wanted to talk about this family leave legislation.
Mm-hmm.
What's in it for feds?
Well, right now, federal employees aren't guaranteed, actually anyone in America isn't guaranteed any paid parental leave when they have a child or adopt a child. We're one of only four countries in the entire world that don't offer that benefit. And the other countries, it's a sad list of like Swaziland and a lot of countries you've never heard of. So, you know, we think that the United States is just lagging far behind in this area. 75% of Fortune 500 companies offer paid parental leave of some kind. And there's a bill that's already passed the House of Representatives twice, and we're hoping to finally get some movement in the Senate and hopefully get it passed this year, that would provide 4 weeks of paid parental leave for federal employees.
Now, is this husband and wife? What if it was a federal couple and they had a baby? Could they both take 4 weeks?
It applies for both the man and the woman. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure about that kind of a technicality.
Okay, I would assume that one parent could do it, and they would select that, and they might trace all around. Now, who's opposed to this?
Well, I guess just in general, for federal employees, there's a misconception out there. Well, I mean, people think that federal employees have really great benefits, and to a certain extent, that's true. But like I said, 75% of Fortune 100 companies have this benefit, but federal employees don't. So it's not as generous as a lot of people think. So in general, federal employees, anytime there's a new benefit out there, there's just going to be opposition of people who say that, feds are already paid too much, they have too many benefits. But a lot of that's misconceptions.
So the private sector people that have it, they have it due to the generosity of their employer. It's not a government mandate.
That's true. Family Medical Leave Act says you got to give them the ability to take leave, but they got to use their annual and their sick leave. But there's nothing, no paid parental leave benefit in the United States that's guaranteed.
Okay. Now, this has been up before and obviously didn't make it.
We're working on it. we've had trouble in the Senate, and we just got to get it moving. And so that's what we're hoping to do.
Oh, okay. Now, the other one, the one that interests me so much, is this legislation that would make it possible for federal workers to take unused annual leave as they're retiring, and rather than cash that out and pay taxes on it immediately, in some cases that's a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that, they could put some or all of it, depending on what kind of limit they were at, into the Thrift Savings Plan. Is that the way that would work?
Yeah, that's basically it. Anybody who's part of the Thrift Savings Plan would be able to take their just their annual leave, not sick leave, take their unused annual leave, and you know, take the credit that they would get and put it into their Thrift Savings Plan, and they can put up to $16,000 per year in, and that's just a really great opportunity for federal employees to really boost their retirement accounts, especially when they're getting close to retirement, when it's real important.
Well, now the carryover leave amount now for most people is what? Is it 240 hours, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then for SES people, it's higher, I believe, if not unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about somebody, let's say somebody has 400 or 500 hours of unused annual leave, which is quite possible,
mm-hmm.
And they're at a very high rate of pay, that lump sum payment could be approaching $100,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a strategy where somebody would say, look, I'm going to retire this year. I think what I'll do is stop my Thrift Savings Plan contributions,
mm-hmm.
just stop them, and instead put, at the end of the year, put that lump sum annual leave in, and that way I'll have more spending money. I'll get a tax break through doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard people's strategies?
You know, I haven't heard so much about it. This is a pretty new bill. It was only introduced on March 17th, but it's moving fast. We've got real good bipartisan support for the bill. It's already gone through the Oversight and Government Reform Committee in the House, so we've already cleared that hurdle. And that, now we got to get a companion bill in the Senate and get it moving over there. But this is one that I think is really realistic to get done, and obviously we're going to try to make it happen.
Is there opposition in the government from the Treasury because it would continue deferring taxes on a fairly substantial amount of money?
You know, there's, I guess if there is any downside to this bill, that's it, is that, you know, the government will have less revenue because people are making tax, you know, deferred contributions into the TSP, which is like a 401, very similar to a 401k program. But, you know, we think this bill is more about fairness for companies that have 401ks. This is the way that it already works for people who hold 401ks. What we're doing is just getting the government TSP system so that it kind of matches the laws applying to 401ks.
You know, I was talking to somebody who tracks 401k plans and IRAs for a living, and they said that one of the objections that people don't think about is that whereas the federal government allows people to accumulate annual leave, you know, in large chunks, the private sector often has a use it or lose it system. So he said that's one of the hidden objections that people don't understand is that it would be more valuable to federal workers simply because they can save more leave. But on the other hand, I believe the White House has authorized this for the private sector, correct?
That's correct.
Treasury did it. So,
yeah.
So Company X can do it. People with GSA can't do it.
That's correct. And, you know, really, we just want federal, I mean, the TSP was designed to be like a 401k program. The change was made for private sector 401ks. We just want the federal, you know, federal employees to have that, the same kind of ability to do that they have in the private sector. It's just fairness.
Okay. Randy, I wanted to ask you about the National Security Personnel System.
Mm-hmm.
This is 6 years ago, it was the greatest thing going. Now, 6 years later, it's the most horrible thing that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was a creature of the Bush administration, I think specifically then Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld,
mm-hmm.
wanted a way to get a handle on the Defense Department bureaucracy, and the idea was put people in a system where managers would have more control and the ability to reward, high earners or high returners, I guess I'm trying to say, and be able to withhold money from people who weren't doing such a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It was never popular with the unions. Who said there was no buy-in, it was top-down, and so the decision was made 5-6 years ago to limit it to employees in non-bargaining units, meaning
mm-hmm.
mostly management types, and the result after several years of that, 3 or 4 years in some cases, was that some of these people, most of them management types or managers, found out they did much better under the new system. as far as pay raises go, than they would have had they remained in their GS slot and position. And now they're transitioning 220,000 some people back from NSPS to the GS system. They want to do most of it, I believe, by October the 1st. And some people think it's they went into the NSPS too quickly, and they're making the same strategy mistake with their exit effort. And what do you see the NSPS? Did you like it? Did you think it was fair? Do you have people who are going to miss it?
You know, the people who stand to lose are always going to be the most vocal. You know, one thing about NSPS is they were throwing a lot of money at the people who first got moved into the system. They knew that, you know, it really got, you know, rushed through Congress. It got forced down a lot of, you know, the unions and defense employees' throats, and a lot of people didn't like it. So defense knew that they had to give big raises to keep people who were under the system happy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that really wasn't sustainable. I mean, they gave something like 8.6% raises per year for those folks. And, you know, hey, I don't care I'm glad they got it, but it was certainly not sustainable, and it certainly wouldn't have applied for all 700,000 defense employees had they been moved under NSPS. So, you know, we didn't buy into it. There's a few people who did very well who are, you know, upset that they're going to go back under the GS system. But hey, management has the flexibility to give bonuses and the quality step increases and things like that, and we encourage them to use them. But NSPS was a disaster, and we're very glad that it's gone.
Do you think they're moving too quickly to put people back in?
You know, I do not think that they're moving too fast. You know, in our opinion, we'd like to see NSPS go away as soon as possible. We feel that the system was discriminatory. It was unfair. There was no transparency to speak of. For all those reasons that we wanted it gone, we want it gone as soon as possible. You've got to be practical about how fast you can, DOD, it's a process to move people back, but it's not as complicated a process as it was to create a new system from scratch. People know the GS system. Most of the people came out of the GS system into NSPS. So, I mean, moving people back into a system that everybody already knows is certainly a lot easier than creating something from scratch where you're kind of coming up, you know, everything is new under NSPS. So,
okay, Randy, hold that thought. We need to take a short break here. Talking with Randy Irwin, the National Federation of Federal Employees, and we'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
SATCOM Report is brought to you by Hughes, the global leader in broadband satellite networks and services. Here is Tony Bardo from Hughes.
How would your agency operations be impacted if the network went down for a few hours? How about for a few days? Hughes understands the network simply cannot go down. It is not an option. Your agency's ability to share information internally with other agencies and with the public depends on a secure, resilient network that keeps operating even when disaster strikes. That means backup networks must be path diverse. Relying on a second terrestrial network that can also fail is not enough. Hughes Satellite Broadband Communications provide a true alternate path that complements an agency's primary land-based network and ensures continuity of operations regardless of circumstances on the ground.
Visit today's complete SATCOM report on federalnewsradio.com. Visit Hughes on the web at government.hughes.com or call 800-498-4909.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 AM Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorba. Here's what we're working on for this afternoon's Daily Debrief. On the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, what is your agency doing to be more green? Michelle Moore is the federal environmental executive. We'll talk to her about what you can do to be more green. And to Web 2.0 or not to Web 2.0? EPA asks the question and put a policy in place. What does it say? We'll get details, all that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorovec and Amy Morris, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and I'm talking with Randy Irwin from the National Federation of Federal Employees Union. Randy, I want to mention 2009 in passing here. You guys, the federal unions, the federal managers groups, the Senior Executives Association, and the National Active and Retired Federal Employees probably had your best year ever in as far as getting beneficial legislation enacted for federal workers.
We did. It was a good year, and we hope to duplicate it this year.
Well, there are not as many things, not as many irons in the fire, as it were, it seems to me, this year as opposed to last year. You mentioned the leave bill, the parental leave bill, mm-hmm. that's working its way through, and also the bill, I guess it was approved last week in committee, that would let feds put unused annual leave into the thrift saving plan when they retire, mm-hmm. up to certain limits. Anything else cooking out there?
You know, there's a telework bill that also recently passed out of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. We think that's another one that is a priority for us this year. Just in general, we don't think the government's using the telework option as much as it could. And right now, agencies kind of aren't embracing it. And when they are utilizing telework, they're kind of singling out into certain people and kind of giving it to them as a benefit. When really, we think it should be the way that government operates. Take the snowstorms that we had in January and December. The federal government was shut down for over a week and lost, tens if not hundreds of millions of dollars in productivity because they didn't have the capability and the telework system up in place. If people, if agencies were utilizing it, people could have just worked from home and we wouldn't have lost
One thing, being the devil's advocate for a moment, if they're going to do that, they better supply generators, because I was without power for 5 days. I needed an old-fashioned typewriter, but then there was no way to get things in. But it seems to me that every year there's some kind of bill or there's a move, and I know Congressman Frank Wolf was a leader in this, and Elijah Cummings, Steny Hoyer, and every year they push agencies to telework, and yet nothing seems to happen. And I mean, that is, I've heard of situations where the agency, in order to make a report to Congress, they'll let you, Randy Irwin, telework for one day, mm-hmm. in that calendar year. And then they'll say, yeah, we have 36,000 employees, or, two-thirds of our staff are teleworking, but it's one day a year, one day a month, right. One day a week. Does this bill have any teeth, or is it just more talk?
Well, I mean, one thing that it'll do is it'll put the onus on the agencies to it, it, it would federal federal employees would be allowed and expected to telework 20% of their time. So on two days, 16 hours for each every 2 weeks for each pay period. Agencies will have the option to say, no, this person can't telework because just some jobs it's not appropriate. But it'll put the onus on the agency to say why they're not meeting that, why they're not having their employees telework for that amount of time.
Would they have to justify this in a regular report to Congress?
I'm not 100% sure.
I just don't see the enforcement. I mean, people keep, they're cheerleaders for teleworking, and I'm one of them, say this is such a great thing, and all of the plus sides, eliminate a tardiness, virtually eliminate absenteeism. You know, everybody's happier, people are more productive. But that said, they don't seem to, there seems to be no teeth in any of these proposals.
You know, that's a challenge. You know, unfortunately, telework, it's not a cut and dry thing. You can't just kind of, you know, write a one-page bill and broad brush it for everyone and say everybody's got to telework one day a week. You know, it's just not that simple. So, I mean, we don't want to tie government's hands. You know, we want it to be a bill that's going to save money for the government. It's going to, you know, say it's good environmentally, less people on the roads, less congestion. You know, it's a good thing for government to use telework, but we're not going to push something that's going to tie government's hands so they can't operate.
Gotcha. Randy, really appreciate you being with us today. Dorothy Ramisky is giving me the circular thing. For a long time, I just twirled my head, but she means this segment is over. And thank you very much. We'll talk to you again. And remember, if you missed this, we're archived, so you can listen on our webpage. Stay tuned for more about money.
Checking your daily TSP ticker. The latest numbers from April 20th, 2010. The G fund is unchanged at 1324. The F fund doesn't move either at 1364. But the C fund picks up 0.12 at 1439. And the S fund rises 0.26 at $19.06. The I fund gains 0.15 at 1896. Your L funds all rise. The 2040 gains 0.12 at $16.74. The 2030 picks up 0.11 at $16.43. The 2020 moves up 0.08 at $16.12. The 2010 rises 0.04 at $15.63. And the L income picks up 0.03 at $14.23. Check your rates anytime, every day on federalnewsradio.com. Dimitri Sotis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
How is the federal government promoting sustainability and environmental stewardship? What is the federal government doing to green its operations and reduce its carbon footprint? What about the GreenGov Challenge? Listen next week as these questions and more will be explored with Michelle Moore, Federal Environmental Executive, Executive Office of the President, next week on the Business of Government Hour. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government.
You wouldn't drive your kids in the car without them wearing their seatbelts. So why would you leave them unprotected once you're gone? At Zelle Law, we help protect your assets for your heirs and provide the latest techniques designed to maximize your wealth. To learn more, call 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zellelaw.com. You can also join me, Wayne Zell, every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Blueprint for Wealth right here on Federal News Radio.
Save money at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more. This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to California Tortilla. Let them cater your next event. Imagine, in Gaithersburg, a boutique for women and men that provides fashion, fit, and timeless style. And Alto Plaza in Centerville, where mouthwatering flavors from Latin America and Spain await you. See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
Tune in Wednesday, April 28th at 11 a.m. for ArcSight's panel discussion on cybersecurity. Guests will include Pablo Martinez, U.S. Secret Service, Congressman Michael McCaul, Richard Hale, DISA, Gordon Snow, FBI, and William Crowell, a member of ArcSight's Board of Directors. Topics discussed will include cybersecurity legislation, FISMA, the government's role in cybersecurity, and much more. Tune in Wednesday, April 28th at 11 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. and online at Federal News Radio.
Let's talk about Google Wave. If somebody has a blog and they would like to create a wiki within their blog, they don't have to write the code. They create a wave, they just drag that wave into their blog, and now their blog is empowered with a wiki. And they have all of that real-time translation capacity within their blog.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Internet. It's indispensable. Without it, how else would we perform crucial functions like shoe shopping, watching videos of a cat playing the piano, emailing inspirational anecdotes to our 1,000 closest friends? But despite these awesome utilizations of information technology, at Kaiser Permanente, we've found some better uses. Like being able to securely manage your own health online 24/7, emailing your doctor's office, checking most test results, reviewing meds, making routine appointments. Not to mention a vital digital connection between you, your doctor, and everyone on your team. Could it be that making total health smarter, more efficient, and more convenient is the very sort of thing for which the internet was intended? Maybe. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't fit in a cat video now and then. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we want you to live well, laugh well, and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Become a citizen of Matt's Town and make your dollar go further at Nationals Park. Watch future Hall of Famer Pudge Rodriguez, All-Star Ryan Zimmerman, Slugger Adam Dunn, and the Nats as they battle the Dodgers April 23rd, 4th, and 5th. Friday and Saturday, Miller Lite Party Night. Sunday, Family Fun Day with pregame autographs and postgame Kids Run the Bases. And the first 10,000 kids, 12 and under, receive a free kids cap presented by Smithfield. Visit Nationals.com or call 888-632-NAT.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and we're going to be talking about money, specifically your thrift savings plan and how you can become a millionaire, because we know it's been done. My guest is Alan Roth. He's a very well-known financial planner and has a blog with CBS, and we'll be giving his identifier so you can reach him if you want to. Alan and I share the same coat of arms, the same ancient and honorable motto, and that is dare to be dull. In my case, it applies to trying not to hype news stories and don't make it worse than it is, and don't scare people unnecessarily. In Alan's case, it is his theory is that investing should be dull, like watching paint dry or going to a barber college or something. That it shouldn't be a roller coaster thing. Did I get that right, Alan?
You have that absolutely right, and I'm happy to say that TSP is a very, very dull retirement plan, which makes it very good.
Yes, yes. Well, I did a column on April 14th with tax day in mind, and I got information from the Thrift Savings Plan, and it turns out they have 75 people, 75 participants who have accounts of $1 million or more. And the assumption was that most of these were rich people, often lawyers, who came into government maybe to become federal judges or something, and they roll their outside money into the TSP. So they brought it with them. But I got an email, a very long and detailed email, which I used as a column on April 19th, and it was from a man who said, I was interested in your piece about TSP millionaires. And he said he did it the hard way. He retired in the middle of 2009 and began investing in the TSP in 1987. And at the end of that year, 1987, he had $2,009 in his fund. All of it was in the G fund, the Treasury Securities thing. And that was because people were limited to how much they could put in the stock and stock indexed funds. Over the years, he gradually increased it to 100%. In the stock funds, obviously lived with the ups and downs of it, and he lost $200,000 during the crash of 2008, but it bounced back, and now he had an account. When he retired, he had over $1 million. How does that sound to you?
It sounds quite reasonable. Albert Einstein said that the power of compounding was the most powerful force in the universe, and I'm no Albert Einstein, but I'd like to nominate inertia as the second most powerful. So to be able to continue to contribute and stay the course is what will build wealth.
Now, and you're a fee-based planner, so that is people come to you and you help them out for a flat fee. You don't sell mutual funds?
Yeah, I'm strictly an hourly advisor. I don't
okay.
make any money other than the hourly, which is why I would tell people to, when they retire, to keep their funds in their thrift savings plan. I wish I had access to funds at low cost.
Yeah, I think you and I have standing offers that we will exchange accounts with anybody if they can get us into the TSP.
I'll do just about anything to get in.
so far, so now that column and those comments from people brought a lot of letters, a lot of emails from people here, and if I can find them. Here's from Mike with the Department of Veterans Affairs. He says, in fact, they're nearly all from Mike today, come to think of it. Becoming a TSP millionaire can be done with zero risk, strictly through investing in the G fund. There is no need to invest in the risky CS and I funds. Just contribute the max each year, currently $16,500, and over a 30-year career, you will exceed a million. I'm not very good with numbers, as you well know. Is he right?
It's quite reasonable. I wouldn't suggest leaving only in the G fund, but if you contribute, I just did a little spreadsheet. If you contribute $16,500 a year and get a $3,000 match, and it only grows at 5% annually, it'll take about 25 years to become a millionaire.
Oh, okay, that's right. The match is a major factor in this, isn't it? It's a 5% free money, free tax deferred money from the government.
Exactly. Yes. So I used kind of a salary of $60,000 in this calculation.
And I know it's past performance means nothing, but we depend on it. Have you ever run a chart that would show what I always like the example of twin brothers, twin sisters, identical in every way, same job, same salary. One in this case would put all of his or her money into the G fund for 30 years, given the past rates, and the other would put money almost exclusively in the C, S, and I funds and see what the difference would be. I mean, one might be a millionaire, but one might be a multimillionaire.
Yeah, the C, S, and I funds aren't 30 years old, to my knowledge. But we tend to put money in what has performed well. I mean, you know, the G fund has, and the F funds have performed spectacularly over the last 10 years. But I looked at the funds flow of the TSP, and guess what? Federal employees are no different than other people. We tend to put our funds in what has done well in the past.
Well,
and that, by the way, is going to really delay that millionaire status.
Yeah, a lot of people that I know personally said they just couldn't handle the stresses of the October 2008, I guess it was, crash, if we can call it that, recession. And by December and whatnot, they had pulled all their money out, and they're in the G fund. So you could make the argument that although they were preserving what they had or wanted to preserve what they had, they were also selling low, correct?
Yeah, it was human instinct. You know,
yeah.
I just did a calculation. These aren't on the TSP funds, but on something very similar. The Vanguard Total U.S., Total International, and Total Bond Fund, a 60% equity fund that was rebalanced once a year, as of yesterday's close, was higher than the market closed at the end of 2007, so before the crash. But that took a lot of nerve to be able to put more money into the stock market after it crashed.
Well, I'm looking, these are from the TSP website. So far, the bottom of the market appears to be March 9th of 2000. That was the magic day. And I'm looking at the C, S, and I funds. The C fund on that day, you could buy a share for $7.86. Yesterday, that same share was $14.39.
Yeah, and the appreciation of the I fund was even greater.
Correct. The iPhone was $10.29 on March 9th, 2000, and to yesterday it was $18.96. So most of them are nearly doubling here. So that
but
means.
But remember, you know, on the news, on the media, the non-dull stations, the exciting stations, were saying that capitalism was dead.
Right.
Get your money out of the market before you lose the other half.
Right. Now, let's take a short break here, and we'll be right back talking with Alan Roth about what to do, a strategy for you to become a TSP millionaire here on WFED 1500 AM.
Teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down the walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
Plane's fuel. Are we good to go?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Baggage?
Empty crate. A plane ready for takeoff.
Guys, we got an empty dog carrier here.
And your moment of truth.
We need all eyes on a missing dog now.
Which push-to-talk network do you want to keep business flying?
Nothing at ticketing.
Nothing at the gate.
Got a 20 on your missing passenger.
Let me guess. Food court.
Roger that.
When you want the largest push-to-talk coverage area in the nation, you want Verizon. Plus, now get push-to-talk in the BlackBerry Tour smartphone. Buy one today for $99.99 after $100 mail-in rebate debit card and get the second one free. Each phone requires new two-year activation on a voice plan with data pack $29.99 or higher. Early termination and other fees per line apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Mike Crosby, welcome back to Your Turn, talking about how you could become a millionaire through your Thrift Savings Plan account. We know it's been done. There are 75 federal workers and possibly postal workers who are investing in this TSP, and they have more than $1 million in their accounts. Most, but not all of them, brought that money in from outside jobs before they joined the government. But we know of at least one, and he was featured in Monday's column, who did it the old-fashioned way. He invested in the Thrift Savings Plan. He maxed out every year. He became a member of the Senior Executive Service, so he was at the higher salary levels, and he was putting in the max each year, and he was putting it in the C Fund, which is the S&P 500 index, the S Fund, which is, I guess, is the rest of the U.S. stock market, and the I Fund, which is an international index fund. And as Alan Roth pointed out, the gains between March 9th of last year, when the market was at, so far at least, its bottom, and today are phenomenal in all three of those funds. Alan, in your Dare to be Dull strategy, you say you shouldn't wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweats, and you shouldn't have to watch these 24/7 cable shows about finances, and as you said, the death of capitalism, which has apparently been quite overextended, and look at General Motors now and what's happened to it in less than a year. What do you think of the life cycle funds in the TSP?
I think they're terrific. They'll do that rebalancing for you. They will consistently go out and buy low and sell high and do that rebalancing. So I'm definitely a fan of those funds. I think there are some opportunities for tax efficiency to put more of your bond funds in your TSP and your stocks within your taxable accounts.
Well, you know, I'm looking at L2040, which is the most aggressive. That means that you're planning on starting to take your money out of the fund or somewhere around the year 2040, not necessarily when you're going to retire, but when you're going to tap your account. And so the L2040 is the most aggressive because it has the largest exposure to stocks. And on March the 9th of last year, when the market was down, a share of the L Fund 2040 was selling for $9.81. Yesterday, it was $16.75. That's not bad for a stodgy fund, huh?
Not bad at all, but, you know, we're using hindsight, you know.
Yes, exactly,
9th,
exactly.
If I were asked on March 9th, I would have said, you know, the market's on sale, we need to buy, but people were asking me, can I guarantee it's going to go up, and my answer was no.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you tell clients? I mean, and obviously, do you kind of psych them out? Do you sort of get a sense of what their personality, and I'm sure age and their goals have a lot to do with it?
It's a combination of willingness and need to take risk. You first of all, you have to have a willingness to take risk, because, you know, otherwise you're going to panic and sell at the wrong time, and you would be much better off in the effort that you fund if you're going to keep doing that. But the second is the need to take risk. Some people have already met their goals. You know, there is a chance we could have a market catastrophe. There is a chance that, sorry to say this, Iran could launch nukes or some sort of horrible thing like that that causes the market to crash. So some people have already built up, you know, a plan to live the rest of their lives, and my plans don't have clients taking the money with them. So, you know, there are times to be more conservative when you don't have to take the risk.
Well, here's an email from someone says, enjoy the column. Surprised there are only 75 people with over a million in their TSP accounts, especially since most financial experts indicate that we should have $1 million to $7 million in our retirement accounts in order to have a comfortable retirement. I've been contributing the max for the past 5 years to my TSP and have put in the CS and I funds. My retirement is 22 plus years away. Therefore, I'm being aggressive and enjoy purchasing stocks when the prices are low. How about that? Does that fit in with your strategy?
Yeah, it fits in great. I mean, I ask people, how do they feel about the market now versus a year ago? And they say they feel much better. I say we should feel worse. The price is much higher.
That's right. So now they are paying for it. What about people who went out, say, in that around that magic time, December, January, February, March, before it hit the bottom? What about people who just couldn't handle it? They went out, so they put their money in the G fund, and now they're waiting to come back, presumably, now that the market is up. How do they handle it? Is it a mistake? Should they wait for another crash?
I think if people did panic and get out, they should probably stay out. They should stay in the F and the G funds, because they're more likely to get higher returns consistently in the F and the G fund than by moving in and out.
Well, I was talking with a retired a nuclear regulatory commission employee who's done very well investing, both in the TSP and outside. And the way he looked at it, and he is one of these people who appears and luck has a lot to do with it. But he timed the market. He got out completely. He went into the G fund completely, I believe, in August of 2008. So when it was way up there, and then of course it crashed. And he said what he did was preserve capital.
Yeah, I think timing the market, it can be done, but your odds of getting it right are very, very low, and you just increase another set of volatility or non-diversification, and that's by moving in and out of the market. So, yes, there are examples of people who have done that. I think probably more people say they've done it than done it, but I don't have a study.
Mm-hmm.
On that, but it's possible.
It's interesting you would say that, because nearly everybody I know who goes to Las Vegas regularly wins or breaks even.
And yeah, I ask people that. Two-thirds of people, uh-huh, when they come back, say they won money, or you know, but no one argues that they built the casinos to give money away.
Yeah, that's
don't forget, rebalancing is timing the market. You
uh-huh
know, rebalancing means that in the end of 2007, when you've had five up years in a row and U.S. markets have doubled and international tripled, that you have to sell some of those equities.
Yeah. Ellen, let me ask you about that, the getting the nerve to sell when it's high, when we come back here. Talking about money here on Your Turn, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Jim Flysick. Please join me on Tuesday, April 27th at 2 p.m. for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. Our program this month will discuss the benefits associated with virtualization and data center efficiencies and the vision for the next 1 to 3 years. The panel includes government leaders from FAA and the State Department. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum Tuesday, April 27th at 2 p.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by Red Hat and Riverbed Technology.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Now that health care reform is law, you can expect Health and Human Services to take the lead in reform. But there's no way HHS can do it alone. Consider another 32 million people who don't have coverage about to be thrust into the system. The Office of Personnel Management, which administers the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program, will be an integral part of the plan. More on that next week. I'm Amy Morris.
With the rates for the federal long-term care program increasing by as much as 25%, there's never been a better time to consider your options. WEPA offers long-term care insurance from several highly rated carriers. These plans offer multiple premium discounts, and certain plans even allows couples to share benefits, which increases flexibility and saves on premium costs. For a personal quote, call 1-800-243-5569 or visit waepaltc.org. That's 1-800-243-5569. Or waepaltc.org.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
The Education Department is taking a cybersecurity deep dive. Danny Harris is the department's CIO. He plans on hiring both new employees and a vendor to better analyze the department's status.
What I'm going to do is let a contract to actually have experts come in and help us pull back the covers a bit more, scan a few more applications, scan a few more parts of our subnet, and put together a comprehensive view of what our security posture is going to be.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com.
Be sure to mark April 29th on your calendar and attend the Excellence.gov Awards luncheon at the JW Marriott Hotel in Washington. These awards will recognize the game changers, those federal programs and their managers who have achieved exceptional results in managing IT in support of the government's mission and serving citizens. On April 29th, the winners will join the over 150 programs that have received the Excellence.gov Award since 2002. For more information, go to actgov.org/excellence.gov2010.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Alan Dare-to-be Del Roth. Alan, tell people about your blog for CBS.
I write a blog called The Irrational Investor. It's on moneywatch.com. And it's all about, when it comes to investing, our animal instincts of fear and greed that make us, you know, do the wrong things at the wrong time. It's how we're systematically hardwired to do what I actually see in the TSP, buy high and sell low.
And it's a survival mode. It worked well 12,000 years ago. Maybe not so good now on Wall Street, huh?
Yeah, all of those instincts that work so well for our survival betray us when it comes to investing.
Yeah. It's very popular, you know, the 7 Habits of Effective People, 10 steps to this, and I saw a magazine the other day that says lose 47 pounds by June 15th. I don't know when that was printed, when that came out, but that's pretty ambitious for most of us. Do you have a 3-step or a 5-step or a 10-step program for getting rich, I guess in your case, slowly?
Well, I don't know. I haven't counted the number of steps, but, you know, it would be simple lessons like, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. In the TSP, you can invest in the entire world and in bonds and money market. It would be keep costs incredibly low. It would be rebalance, which is going the opposite of the herd, being a true contrarian, and then letting time take over and getting rich slowly.
So, well, those are good ones, and the contrarians, I know, just by very nature, when you say someone's a contrarian, you think, well, this is a contrary old goot. I don't know if I want to deal with somebody like that, but they're not pessimists, are they?
Contrarians, everyone likes to consider ourselves contrarians, but they're actually very, very few. As it turns out, on some research I'm doing, people that are slightly pessimistic tend to save more. People that are optimistic are don't worry, things will take care of themselves, and, you know, end up retiring broke and working at McDonald's.
And being pessimistic, I would assume, doesn't necessarily mean you're unhappy. It just means you have a plan B there, huh?
you know, I'm not a psychologist, but
right.
but I happen to think so. I would consider myself a slightly pessimistic person.
Uh-huh. But you're not an unhappy person.
Hopefully not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now
you're going to interview my wife one day.
Yes. Well, speaking of family, how's your son's book doing?
It's doing great. It's gotten great reviews, and I'm so grateful for what you've done for it, Mike. And I'm so glad to have your blurb inside the book.
Well, it was great. This was how a seven-year-old, was it, beat Wall Street?
Yeah, it's how a second grader beat Wall Street, and it's the simple lessons like, you know, don't put your eggs in one basket and such that we went over. But, you know, Kevin at age eight had an advantage that we don't have, and that money didn't mean to him what it means to us now. So at 12 years old, he's already starting to lose that advantage, and by the time
uh-huh.
he's my age, you know, money will mean too much, and he'll start straying from these lessons.
I thought that was absolutely fascinating the time you said that money meant nothing to him, so he was doing very well because he was taking your advice and I guess being a contrarian and selling when the market was up and buying when it was low because it was like monopoly money to him.
Yeah, I mean, he knew to buy low
mm-hmm.
and sell high. You know, it took him a long time to convince him that I was serious, that people tended to do the opposite.
Mm-hmm. But as he gets older, he sees the non-wisdom of most of our ways.
Yeah, the more money means to us, the worse we'll do in investing, all things being equal.
Okay, and in the thrift savings plan, you think it's what the best 401k in the country?
I sure wish I had access to it. Easily the best, and I'm going to do a blog article on that shortly.
Well, John Bogle once told Francis Rose and I in an interview on radio that he, you know, the founder of Vanguard and the index funds, and he said he thought the TSP was the best one around, and he wished he could get in it. He also said he couldn't time the market, and he never met anybody that could. So that's a lesson there for all of us. Hey, thank you so much, Alan Roth, for being with us, and we'll have your address posted up on our website, and also check out the column today and wait for ways to reach Alan. Alan, you want to give us your email real quick?
The email is ar@daretobedull.com.
So it's ar for Alan Roth at daretobedull.com?
Right, all spelled out.
Very good. Okay, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you in a month or so.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Alan. All right, thank you all for being with us today. I hope you learned something in fear and greed in the stock market, and don't let your primal instincts drive your investment program. We'll see you here next Wednesday. Remember, this show is archived on our homepage, so you can listen anytime and refer a friend to it, and we would appreciate it. So we'll see you next Wednesday. Have a good week from all of us here at WFED 1500 AM.
WFED, Washington. WWFD, Frederick.
The Congressional Spotlight on Federal News Radio is presented by AT&T, investing in its network today to connect America's small businesses to the dreams of tomorrow. AT&T, your world delivered.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The Department of Justice has indicted five Blackwater employees on charges including conspiracy to violate a series of federal statutes resulting in the acquisition and disposition of firearms. According to the indictment, several schemes were uncovered during the investigation. Defendants allegedly purchased more than 200 short-barrel compatible M4 rifles and then had their own armors alter them into long-barrel rifles running afoul of U.S. laws. I'm J.J. Green.
Have you ever wondered how the transportation industry exchanges data? Airink knows.
If you've ever booked a flight in Asia or a hotel in Europe or checked your arrival status in the U.S., this data was processed by AirInc. With one of the largest private and secure networks in the world, airlines, hotels, car rental, and travel agencies have entrusted AirInc's network to provide guaranteed data exchange. For more information and career opportunities, log on to arinc.com.
The SATCOM report is brought to you by Hughes, the global leader in broadband satellite networks and services. Here is Tony Bardo from Hughes.
How would your agency operations be impacted if the network went down for a few hours? How about for a few days? Hughes understands the network simply cannot go down. It is not an option.